God. Great is thy faithfulness. And what a wonderful thought. Thank you, Miss Elizabeth, for singing for us and playing this morning. Well, I need to give you just a couple more. You think we're in announcements, but there's several things that I want to make you aware of as far as our trip over to the auditorium next week. But I'm seeing the clock right there. And I will take the time off my time, not your time. I'm reminded of R.G. Lee. He preached at Bellevue Baptist Church right alongside Interstate 40 as you go through Memphis. And somebody came in the service late, and they asked one of the ushers. He was already preaching. They asked one of the ushers, how long has he been preaching? And that usher said, oh, about 47 years. And that guy, that visitor, said, well, he ought to be about done by now, shouldn't he? So I won't preach near that long. I'm going to we get out on normal time, but we're excited about what's going on for next Sunday. Now, I need your help. We've got a lot planned in that service, and Lord willing, we'll have a lot of visitors. If you're listening on the radio or watching it online, of course, on the radio, this is Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. We're looking forward to our dedication Sunday, 1 week from today at 11 o'clock. And if you're able to come, we'd love to have you. We'd be honored to have you as our guest on that day in person. Many of you listen to the radio, and I talk to people on a regular basis. They say, oh, we listen to the radio program every Sunday morning, and so we're inviting you to come in person if you're able to. 11 o'clock, come. Get your seat, but then help others get their seat. Help others get in your pew. I know those in pews are high-priced real estate. Come and get it. If you need to help somebody in the inside, we've spread them out just a little bit, so it makes it easier. We've done all that we can to promote some fellowship space to make it easier on everybody. But here's what else you can do. I'm looking forward to this Wednesday night. And maybe you don't have your schedule set that you're normally here on a Wednesday night, but I'd like for you, if you're off work and you're at all able to, that you come on Wednesday evening. We'll start in this room at 7 o'clock. We'll have a Bible study. We'll pray just a little bit and sing. But then we'll get out about 7:40 or so, and then we'll make our way right over to the auditorium. We're calling our preview service. And I would love to have you come and be there. Brother Dan will lead us in a song or two. We'll pray over that auditorium. Brother Daniel was talking about a prayer walk that the ladies will have. There is something special about praying in a new area. And we are looking forward to you being here on this Wednesday. Come right in this room. We'll go over together. We'll pray. We'll sing a song over there. And then you'll get out about 8 o'clock, normal time, just so you can be aware for schedule's sake. And we'll just have a great time. I want to invite everybody to come this Wednesday for that preview service. You can come, scope out your pew. If you get here before Judy does, you can get her pew. And then we will, I didn't even say your last name, Judy. See, people just knew. I don't know what that is. But you come and pray over. We'll have folks praying over different parts of the auditorium, and we're excited about it. And then as we catapult into Sunday morning, again, be here at 11 o'clock. We'll have the 8:30 service move to 11. So in case you flip-flop back and forth, there will be no 8:30 service. We'll have Sunday school at 10, and then the service at 11. And we have a lot of special stuff. We're going to try to get Preacher Lastly to have Miss Lastly play. She'll be coming around the mountain, I think, was her favorite song. And I don't think she's going to do that. She didn't do it for Preacher Lastly, so I hear, so I'm sure she won't for us either. But we've got a lot of wonderful things, aspects that I don't want to take time to tell you this morning, but we have a lot of things. But I want you to, I've got one more shot at you here to ask you this week to think of somebody who Buffalo Ridge means a lot to. Be that they grew up here and they still live close enough that they could drive in. Maybe they got saved here, and we don't try to take people from other churches. That's not our intent. But perhaps the schedule is such that they could come in for that one service. And we'd love for them to be here for the dedication Sunday of the renewed Lastly Auditorium. And so I want you to be thinking of who you can have here for that. And we have a wonderful, wonderful time together. I failed to mention earlier, we're praying for Miss Lori Hubbard. She's having surgery this Friday over in Charlotte. So I want you to make that a matter of prayer as well. But God's good to us. And He has been good to us. You can tell that because all the work that's been done over there, the church, what would put some churches in a great financial turmoil, this church has been blessed because of the good stewardship of the pastors in the past. We have been able to do what we're doing, and we've been paying for it. Obviously, we voted to pay for it, and the Lord has provided the money. God is good. And folks, sometimes we need to stop and pinch yourself just to remind us how good God is. And it's not all about money. If we were in debt up to our eyeballs and we didn't know where money was coming in, God'd still be good. We might be stupid for getting in that situation, but God would still be good. But God really is good to us. He is good all the time. And many folks answer back all the time, God is good because He is so good to us. And I'm so thankful that He allows us to serve here as pastor and then us as a pastor and people. And it's just a wonderful, wonderful thing. And I'm thankful that you all are here for all of it. Well, I want to preach for just a little while about a topic, and I'll tell you the address just in a moment. But here's what I've been burdened this week over. Sometimes I meet a lot of Christians, of course, and it seems like since we can't do everything, we don't do anything. Do you ever notice that? You come into a situation, maybe it's a house, and you've been called upon to, okay, this has got to get redone because company's coming or whatever. This has got to get straightened up. Or maybe it's a project. Maybe as your job you are called upon because of your job to go fix a whole thing. And you're just so overwhelmed because everything's broken. There's no good front to it. And then you just throw in the towel and say, I can't do it all. And that defeats you so that you don't do anything. I find that's true in our lives. I find that we get to a place where there's so many things messed up that we don't feel like we can fix it at all, so we just forget about it and we don't do anything. We get overwhelmed in the greatness of what's going on. And so I want to preach about that in just a little bit. We're going to read a text, and when we read this verse, we'll read half of all the verses talking about a certain man named Shamgar in the entire Bible. And I trust that before the service is over, you'll hear the other verse. But I trust that this guy's life will be a blessing to you. I want you to turn your Bibles to Judges chapter 3, verse 31. While you're finding your Bible in your place in your Bible, I hope you have your Word of God with you. As you find your place in Judges 3, 31, I did hear the story about this old, he was an elderly pastor and he was retiring. And he was cleaning out all kinds of things. We're looking for Judges 3. But he was retiring from the minister, from the church there. And he was cleaning out all kinds of stuff in different closets and all that. And he found in the back of one of these closets, his wife was there with him, found this box, and this box had 3 eggs and $150. He thought, that's a strange thing for my wife to keep up with because I don't know at all what is, so it has to be her. So he asked her, what is that? And she said, well, when you started preaching, I decided I'd do something. Whenever you preached a bad sermon or laid an egg, as it's called in the business here that I'm in, and whenever you laid an egg, whenever you preached a bad sermon, I'd put an egg in that box. He said, there's only three. He was uplifted with pride. He said, wow, that's wonderful. Only 3 eggs. I've been here for 30 years. That's only one every 10 years. He said, that's impressive. And then he asked his wife, he said, what's the $150 for? And she said, well, I was getting so many eggs that I started selling them, so I'd box them up and put them in a dozen, and then when I got a dozen, I'd sell them for $1 a piece. So that's how the $150 came into being. So let's not take a note. Let's not take a score at the end of the day to see how the sermon is. We'll just trust that it's worth its weight. So Judges chapter 3, verse 31, and after him, after Ehud, after the last judge, after him was Shamgar, the son of Anath, which slew the Philistines 600 men with an ox goad. And he also delivered Israel. I want to preach a strange message about somebody you probably possibly never heard of, maybe just in passing as you read the verse, but never thought much about. Most of you know the famous judge Deborah that came after him, and some would know the one before Ehud. But this guy in this verse name is Shamgar. I want to tell you the story of what happened with him. As I tell the story, I'll preach and give you about 3 points, and then we'll call it quits and go home. Here's a fella that's facing a really bad time in Israel. Now, this setting is what most of us know or are familiar with this phrase, where it says, there was no king in Israel, and every man did that which was right in his own eyes. It was a wreck. It was a mess. There was no unified leader. There was no standard. There was no person there. There was no belief system that was pertinent there to say, that's what we're going after. There was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And so in this situation, we find ourselves with this person who's an outsider, not even an Israelite, most historians say, that finds himself in the position of a judge or quasi-judge, and he delivered Israel. And we're going to find out from this fella that he did what he could do in a situation that was less than ideal. And I want to preach this message entitled, Do What You Can Where You Are. Do what you can where you are. As I mentioned, some people won't do anything because they can't do everything. They can't fix the whole situation, so they don't fix any of it. They can't remodel the entirety of the project, so they don't make their little part better. I don't know if you know this song when you were in Sunday school or when you were kindergarten age or so. There's a little song, Brighten the Corner Where You Are. And what the gist of that is, you can't do much about the rest of the world, but you can brighten the corner where you are. So if God would help me, I want to take the next 15 minutes and preach to you about doing what you can where you are. Father, be with us now is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're taking notes, I would give you this first one. He, or Shamgar, he lived in a bad time. He lived in a bad time because he was in a time when the judges, where everybody did right what was right in his own eyes, and nobody did right because of that. Everybody was their own standard of excellence. Everybody was their own standard of righteousness. Everybody thought that what they were doing was the proper way to do it. You say, how do you know that? Turn over one page, most of you, to Judges chapter 5, verse number 6. Judges chapter 5, verse number 6. I told you we were going to read the half of the verses in the Bible about Shamgar. Now we're going to read the other half. Verse number 6, Judges 5. In the days of Shamgar, the son of Anath, in the days of Jael, the highways were unoccupied, and the travelers walked through byways. You say, what's that got to do with anything, preacher? The highways were unoccupied. Now, here's what that means. Historians would tell you, and this would back it up, there were highways, not what we would consider highways, interstate, but there were highways that people would travel. In the days of the judges, things were so wicked, and they were so out of sorts, and everybody, again, was doing what was right in their own eyes. And if you have no one standard, then everybody's standard is different, but each one of them touted as the right way to go. There was no judge, there was no king in the land. Everybody did that which was right in his own eyes. And the highway system had gotten to be so known for robbers, thieves, and people that would steal that the folks that traveled would not go on the highways. Now, they didn't have a little thing called Visa. Boy, wouldn't that mess your life up? Might be better if we went back. But they didn't have a little thing called Visa. So if travelers were going to buy anything when they got somewhere, they had to either have their silver or whatever on their person or on their beast. They had to have it in the caravan somewhere. So robbers, thieves, and those that would do ill, they of course knew this. And so they would stand and wait by the highways so that when travelers would come through, they would be able to steal whatever was there. Well, it got known. You know what I mean when we say the bad part of town. Well, Israel was the bad part of town. It all was the bad part of town. And so much so, in that verse, if you look back at it, the Bible says that the highways were unoccupied, and the travelers, the ones that were afraid to go on the highways, they walked through the byways. Meaning that they would take the paths, the little nooks and crannies. They would find the places where it wasn't as known, it wasn't as common. They would take the byways, they would take the bypass. They would take the ways that weren't inhabited by the thieves, the robbers, and those that would do harm. And so I'm telling you this to say that Shamgar lived in a time when it was bad. Friend, we're not living in too good a time right now either. There seems to be nobody wants to say what's right or what's wrong. We live in an age in which we're not supposed to call anybody a male or female because that could change on them sometime along through their life. That's what the world would have us to say. We live in a time when we can't assume that one, a male or female, is marrying the other when they get married. My friend, we were living in a day when everybody does what's right in their own eyes as well. We understand that most people, I'm talking about the world and the media and most folks, we don't want anything as an absolute. Why? Because that may infringe upon what I want to live in a certain way. My friend, listen, the Bible is as absolute as you can get. It may say it kindly, and it does in many places, but it says whatever it says. It says that God created the world. There weren't any other ways for this thing to get here. God says He created them, male and female created He them. That's the way God did it. God says that marriage is this and this. God puts things out there, and that is an absolute But in today, we've got people who live in their own way and they want to do whatever they want to do because truly, as the days of the judges, there's a group of people, a large group, that does what's right in their own time, in their own eyes. So I'm saying this morning that Shamgar lived in a bad time. I'm getting somewhere here. I wanted to see you not only that, but Shamgar lived in a bad time. But look back, if you will, in Judges chapter 3 as we see what he did in this bad time, which slew of the Philistines 600 men with an ox goad. Not only did he live in a bad time, but he also starts doing something from where he is. The Bible says here in this verse that you just looked at again, that he slew those Philistines with an ox goad. Now there's little known about Shamgar, only those two verses that you just read in your Bible. But the ox goad would indicate he was a farmer. And he was somebody who lived on the land. The ox goad, the stick to poke the oxen. We'll talk about that in just a moment. But he used an ox goad. He wasn't a trained soldier. He wasn't a high up person in the government. He was a farmer that just lived his life. He was not a trained soldier. And the Philistines, as I already described the status of the way everybody was, everybody doing what was right in their own eyes. And you understand, when things go crazy and they get disjointed, then there's always an opportunist from the outside that says, I believe I can do something there. Well, enter the Philistines. So Israel, God's people, are disjointed, not seeking the Lord, not serving Jehovah God, of course, doing what's right in every man's own eyes. And now in that disjointed just a way where everybody's doing what they think is right, no standard, no level to say that's what we're shooting for. Then the Philistines come in and they wreak havoc on the Israelites. So now you see why Shamgar is at a place where the known enemy, the Philistines, have to be somewhat taken care of. And so I see not only did he live in a bad time, but he starts from where he is. This is what I'm trying to get to us this morning. Shamgar realizes that he can't do everything, but he can do something about the people who are wreaking havoc on the people of Israel. Now remember, I told you that Shamgar, not even truly an Israelite possibly, but an outsider, but he sees people being taken advantage of. And as the scripture says, he killed 600 Philistines. Most historians would say, not at one time where 600 against one, but over his lifetime, he was defeating the enemy that was cruelly treating the people of God. He starts from where he is. Do you know what I hear as an excuse, or maybe not an excuse, maybe just something to pad ourselves? We say, preacher, we say, Brother John, I just don't have the same advantages that somebody else does. If anybody in here works, you work with people. People work for you, under you, with you, whatever you call it. But they work with you. Oftentimes, they will give you the excuse, well, I would do more, but I just don't have those advantages. Here we find Shamgar, somebody who doesn't have those advantages, but yet he finds himself defeating the enemies of the people of God with simply what he's got. My friend, God doesn't need you to do something with what you don't have. He needs you to do something with what you do have. He doesn't need you to be a better Christian with better raising and better opportunities and better availabilities. He needs you to be a great Christian just the way he's let you live right now. I think too many of us say, well, I would do more. I would be a better daughter. I would be a better son. I would be a better church member. I would be a better pastor. I would be a better this, that, or the other. If only I had had more advantages. My friend, God allowed us to live the life that we've lived up till now. We are where we are. The grace of God tells us that we can do something for him. Where we are, do not let the devil defeat you to make you think, since I can't do it all, I won't do anything. I can't fix everything in my family, so I won't fix anything. My friend, clear off a spot where you are, as Shamgar was, a farmer, possibly uneducated, a farmer, somebody who was not equipped to do what he did, but he starts from where he is, and he does something, gets his name mentioned in the Word of God. A cobbler. Years and years and years ago, centuries, found a young man in his village that wanted to surrender to the ministry. As he surrendered to the ministry, the cobbler knew that the young man did not have the wherewithal to pay the expenses to prepare through seminary and all the training that would be. The cobbler approached the young man and he said, I want to help you as you prepare for the Lord's ministry. And he did that for some years, took a couple years to get through the seminary. And as he got to the end of it, the cobbler told his young recipient of all this benefit, he told him, he said, here's what I'd like for you to promise me. Some would say, oh, I knew there was a catch. Nobody helps anybody for free. Here's the catch. The cobbler asked this young seminary student who was about to finish. He said, I want you to make me a promise. I want you to promise me that you will allow me to make and cobble, repair, all the shoes that you use. And he said, I want you to take my shoes and I want you to wear them while you've got the book and you're preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. He said, that way I will be able to say that my shoes were on the feet of the man who was preaching the gospel. He said, because I too, as a young man, felt the call of God to go in the ministry, to prepare to serve the Lord. But through circumstances of life and responsibilities and things that he didn't go into, he said, I never did go do what you're doing. And he said, I want to be a part of what you are doing for the work of the Lord. My friend, I just described to you a true story, but somebody who said, I can't do everything. I can't go back and fix mistakes that I made, but I can do something today. And Shamgar, we see that he lived in a bad time, but not only did he live in a bad time, but he also starts from where he is. And you ask yourself that, well, what can I do? Well, we can't do much without the Lord's help, but we can do something. And you say, who am I to ask the Lord to do something? Well, who are any of us but what God gets in you and does something? I see not only did he start from where he was, but then he used what he had. Number one, he lived in a bad time. Number two, he starts from where he is. He's a farmer. He's ill-equipped. He doesn't have the advantages that maybe somebody else does. He's an outsider. He's not trained, yet he does something for the glory of God. And number three, I give you this, he used what he had. I see the scripture says again that he slew the Philistine, 600 men, with an ox goad. Let me tell you what an ox goad is. An ox goad is a stick 5 to 7 feet long, crude in its design, just a stick with on a point on one end. The fancy ones, if you want the Cadillac version, would have a scraper type thing, a flat spade type issue on this item on this side that you could dig roots and you could chop some saplings and things like that. But the other ones didn't even have that. Just a stick 5 to 7 foot long with a point on this end, sharpened down, and they would do what you just expect them to do. They would goad the oxen. They would poke them. Those oxen wouldn't be working and they wouldn't be going good enough, or they'd get out of time with one another, and you would goad one of them. You would poke one of them, much like when Jesus asked Paul on the road to Damascus, it's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Same concept, same verbiage there. And we understand that Shamgar killed these 600 Philistines with an ox goad. Most scholars, as I said, believe that he killed these 600 over some time. Regardless of how he did it, he used not only what he had, or where he was, but he used the tools, crude as they were, that God had given him. I was privileged to meet years ago when I went to Ohio to pastor Grace Baptist Church. I was privileged to meet an old pastor. By this point, he was an old pastor. He had started a church in Marion, Ohio. And he wanted a building, he wanted a place to serve, wanted a place. He felt a call of God. There was a church there, or there needed to be a church there, he thought, to proclaim the gospel. And so he went to Marion, Ohio. Marion, Ohio, back in that day, was a thriving community with several different businesses and many people everywhere. And so he wanted to go start a church. The problem was no money, no people, and no place to get money. Doesn't that sound familiar? And so he racked his brain looking for cheap location. He happened upon someone who was a Seventh-day Adventist pastor who had a beautiful red brick church there. If you know anything about a Seventh-day Adventist, they don't meet on Sundays. And so he contracted with that Seventh-day Adventist church to use their buildings all day long on Sundays for Sunday school and for church and for church that night. For almost nothing, that church met for years, just a very little small amount for rent on a monthly basis. For years and years, that church met. And all because somebody used what he had, what he could afford, where he could get it, and he used it for the glory of God. And so as I see this lesson from Shamgar, he was somebody who did what others would not do, could not do, or did not do. And he did it not with the equipment that one would say he needed, but he did it with the ox goad, did it with ill-equipped situation. Yet he followed the Lord, and he, as the Bible says, and he also delivered Israel. And so we see that he is used of God to fight the enemy with very little. There's a good friend of mine who probably is on his church bus today from Murfreesboro, and he has got a myriad of health issues, uses a walker assistance, has oxygen that he's needed, and he does all these things, yet he still goes out, and like the Energizer Bunny, won't give up. He still goes out to try to build his Sunday school bus route. He uses what he's got to get done something for the glory of God. My friend, I'm trying to drive home to you and I today that there are plenty of reasons why we can say we can't do it, but I'm asking you to figure out a reason why you can do it. I'm asking you to find out in your family, in your marriage, in this church, wherever, we could have some Shamgars that would rise up and say, I will stand for the Lord. Yes, I could give my excuses all day long, but instead of that, I'll see what I can do. And Shamgar used what he had to get done what he needed to get done. There were some other people that were ill-equipped for their battle as well. David had a sling, and the Philistine laughed at him, a different Philistine time, same Philistines, but different enemy. The Philistine stood and laughed at him. What'd you bring a dog out here for me to fight? He had a sling, ill-equipped, but God used it. The lad had his lunch, and when Jesus took the lunch, he had more afterwards. That lad traded a bag lunch in for an all-you-can-eat buffet and had plenty left over. Moses had a rod that God would do different miracles with, ill-equipped to go against the armies of Pharaoh. Dorcas, she had her needle and thread. You read about her in the New Testament. I read of a church, met a pastor one time, a pastor of a church in North Carolina years ago, started that church in a chicken coop. They cleaned it out, don't worry. You say, I couldn't imagine my high heels going in that stuff. Well, you know what stuff's on the bottom of the floor of a chicken coop. But no, they cleaned it all out. Started a church in a chicken coop. My friend, I'm just saying we can sit here all day long and make excuses of why we can't do this, why we can't be a good husband, why we can't have a good family, why we can't be this church, why we can't do this, why we can't give a little more to missions, why we can't help our neighbors, why we can't do this, why I can't do that. My time is too crowded already. I can't help a widow with this, or I can't do this. My friend, we can sit around all day and say why we can't do something, but instead, I challenge you to take a lesson from Shamgar, because he used what he had. Oftentimes, I don't see God calling you to use what you don't have. You say, if only I had. You probably won't. Boy, if only I had more money than I'd. How about what the money we've got? If only I had 100 acres, I'd put a cabin on the back there and I'd let a missionary come and stay. When he comes through, Pastor, how about that extra bedroom? If there's some college kid that needs to stay or what. I'm just saying to us, let's not say what we would do if we had more. Let's ask God, am I doing what I should with what I've got? I see, first of all, they lived in a bad time. And friends, we're living in a bad time. But he starts from where he is and uses what he has. And God records it in his holy word. So my friend, this morning, I ask you this, or you may ask, how can I let God use me? Well, the answer is probably in the question. You're going to have to let God use you. How can I let God use me? You're going to have to let God use you. Too many times we give excuses why God probably doesn't want to do anything with us. Instead of us just saying, God, if you happen to want to do anything with me, I'm here. You've got opportunity to serve God tomorrow. You say, how do you know? You don't even know what I'm doing. I don't know. I have no clue. But I know God will give you opportunities to serve him. I know he says that if you give a cup of cold water in his name, you help this person, you help that person, you've done it under the least of these, you've done it under me. My friend, I'm just telling you, we can do something with what we've got. Too many times we complain about what we don't have, and we say, if I only had more, I'd do something. But I'm saying this morning, let's do something for the glory of God with what we do have. Everybody in this building could be used of God. All of us can find somebody who's down and out tomorrow. All of us can find somebody who's discouraged tomorrow. We can be used of God to lift them up. It may be the person at the counter that waits on you at a certain store. It may be somebody in your neighbor. It may be somebody that God brings to your mind. You can be used of the Lord to build somebody, to lift somebody, to encourage somebody, to bear one another's burden. Everybody could be used in this building. You may be saying, I'm not smart enough. Well, that's certainly not a prerequisite. You may say, I don't have a prestigious job. Shamgar was a farmer. You say, I'm not a preacher. Shamgar wasn't even an Israelite. You say, the world's too dark for us to do much for Jesus now. The world was dark back then as well. So dark that they wouldn't even use the highways because there's too many thieves and robbers. It was known there was a dangerous place to be. Yet Shamgar stood up and did something for the Lord. You say, I'm not talented. Shamgar started from where he was. Little or no talent or ability, very little resources, and God records him in a spot in the Scriptures as a judge. So are you doing anything for the Lord? I believe, and I have no doubt, that most of the people in this room, everybody, we are thinking, planning, gonna do something for our family, for our marriage, for our church. Going to do something, planning to do it, and when I get around to it, when it happens, this, I have no doubt that all of us are planning to be better. Better husband, better wife, better this, better that, whatever, fill in the blank. I have no doubt that you're thinking about that, planning to do something for the Lord, something for your family, but I'm asking you this morning, don't wait till you've got it all figured out. You know what one of the funniest lines I've ever heard, when young people, they're married, and they want to have a baby? How many of you understand that we ought to be married, then have children? One of the funniest things I ever hear is when young people are married, want to have a baby, and they say, well, we just need to get some financial things in order. How many of you parents understand they're more expensive than you ever thought they would be? They never stop taking, and you don't ever get them paid for. I mean, we thought it was great when you got out of diapers, because that was a big expense every week. But it's one of the funniest lines I ever hear. Well, I want to get some money saved up. Well, save it up if you will, but it's just about like that one boy said, well, I'm going to get married as soon as I get enough money. I said, honey, buddy, you're not going to live long enough to save enough. I told you about that one boy. He said, Dad, I heard about in certain countries and societies that the man doesn't even know his wife until they get married. He said, son, that's every society. So I always think it funny, we're going to get some money saved up then. And there's prudence in that. You know, you parents help your kids with that, I understand. But we can also say that to our detriment and just keep on putting off. Keep on putting off. And where I see it sad is there are people sitting right here in our church building that you really do want to serve the Lord, but you're waiting till something else happens. And then I'm going to ask Daniel what class I can help in. Then I'm going to ask Brother Dan to maybe let me get me in that choir. As soon as this happens. And I understand there's a situation in life and maybe you need to wait. This is not a blanket statement. But this is a blanket. That's not, but this is. All of us ought to find a place to serve the Lord. Don't wait till you got it all figured out till you start serving the Lord. Do what you can. Where you are. Last story, a man was walking down the beach. Nobody's around, but there's a lot of starfish out on the tide was high, and it brought a bunch of starfish in and laid them all up there in a line, you know, down through there. Now tide had gone out, and they were all just up there. They're going to just die. That guy was going down the beach. He'd just take those starfish, pick it up and chuck it in the water. Pick it up and chuck it in the water. Walk down a little bit and chuck it in the water. Finally, some guy came along, wasn't anybody else on the beach, and he came by and said, man, you ain't going to help none. You can't do anything for them. What can you do for so many of those? And that guy just was oblivious. He didn't even listen to him. But that guy came up and he kept chucking starfish. And that guy came up and said, hey, what's it matter? He said, you can't do enough. Why does it matter? Why are you even doing that? And he kept on chucking starfish. And finally, he got to him. He said, hey, buddy. He said, you can't do anything for all these starfish. What's it matter? What's the matter? What good are you doing? And finally, he looked up at him about the time he was ready to grab a starfish. And he said, well, as he threw it in, he said, it mattered to that one. And my friend, you may be saying, I can't do much. I don't need you to do much. Shamgar couldn't do much. He's an outsider in a bad time, ill-equipped. Nobody expected him to do anything, but he, the Bible says, saved Israel physically. And my friend, I'm just asking you not to do much. But as I told you before, as I began to preach, I gave you the title, Do What You Can Where You Are. Father, bless us now is our prayer. Lord, I ask that you'd help a bunch of us rise up and do what we can where we are for your glory. Lord, I pray that we would stop believing the lie that one of these days we'll get it all figured out, and then we can help our family. Then we can be the husband that we need to be. Then we can be the parent that we need to be. Then we can be the church member, the servant. Then, Lord, then we'll probably never come. I pray that you'd help us, dear Lord, to learn from Shamgar, to do what we can where we are. My friend, our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. I trust that if you're a Christian in this room this morning, that you would commit to the Lord. Lord, I will. I'm going to do something for you this week. I'm going to find somebody that needs help. I'm going to find somebody who needs encouragement. I'm going to find somebody who's down and out, down and depressed, that I can try to encourage. I'm going to start. I'm going to do this. I can be faithful to church. I can give. I can do this. I can't do a lot, but I can pray. My friend, I'm asking you to do what you can where you are. If you're a Christian and that message has found a lodging spot in your heart, I pray you don't leave this building, but what you do business with the Lord and commit to Him to do that. And maybe you're here this morning and you're not saved. I spoke to Christian folks, I understand. But you know there's been a churning, burning in your soul that something is not right. And you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior. You know all about Him, but you don't know Him intimately, personally like you should. And you need to be saved. You need to have your sins forgiven. You need to be born again. If that's you, in just a moment we stand, I'm going to ask you to come. And then maybe there's others that you're saved, but you've never been baptized. We've got about 4 or 5 or 6 or so that are going to be baptized, Lord willing, next Sunday morning as we get back in that auditorium. Why don't you join them? You're saved, but you've never been baptized after you got saved. Maybe you need to join Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church and you feel the leading of the Lord to come present yourself for membership, and you'd come present yourself. We'd schedule a meeting with you this week and answer any questions you have and let you join this, have you join this church where God has already moved on your heart to do. Lord, my friend, just follow the Lord, whatever He leads. Father, bless us now is our prayer in Jesus' name. Would you stand together as the ladies play? If God spoke to your heart, I invite you to come. Are you in need of salvation this morning? Would you step out and come? Let me or someone take a Bible and show you how you be sure heaven's your home. Maybe you need to be baptized. I met with somebody just early this morning. That young man's going to follow Christ in baptism. Take that step of obedience in his spiritual Christian life. What a joy. Maybe you need to join him. As they continue to play, if God's dealing with your heart, let's do business with the Lord. Is there something on your heart? Say, while I was preaching that message, you thought, you know, I could do that for God's glory. I've been waiting until my marriage gets all straightened out. Then I'm going to be a model husband. No, you start doing something now. Father, help us to be like Shamgar, this obscure person there in the Scriptures, but find something to do in less than ideal situations. Lord, help us not let our circumstances keep us from doing something for You. Help us instead to step up, stand out, and serve You, I pray. And we'll thank You for it all. Thank You for this wonderful crowd that's here today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, thank you. You may look this way. Here's just a couple of announcements that I already shared with you. Brother Kyle and Miss Anna are over here by the keyboard, and they're going to be right there in front. Maybe you haven't met them yet, and you want to slip by and just share it with them that you're praying for them, encourage them. And they came up this weekend. He's going to be sharing his testimony tonight, if I didn't mention that earlier. And I want you to come back and hear him, hear his heart a little bit. And then Brother Daniel will be preaching. And then don't forget that preview service. It's going to be a great time. I want you to be in there on that first night. And we're going to have a time in there together. Start off here, finish up there. What a joy we'll have. God bless you. Thank you for being in church. You're dismissed.
Whose broad stripes and bright stars.